Well, we've had a little drama around here the last couple of weeks. Some of you are aware of it. It started on a Wednesday night a week and a half ago. And all the religious ed students were leaving. And then there was a car. They were having some problems. And none of our kids. It was just some folks from the neighborhood, I guess. And they were giving them a jump. And that didn't work. So they were pushing the car. And then because it was frustration, it was a scene. I would say it was probably PG-13. And eventually, I was just out there watching all this, and then the kid, that young guy, he walks by, and he doesn't see my Roman collar, and I ask him if he's having any trouble. Yeah, put a new alternator in, new battery, the thing won't work, and he said, are you with the church? Yep. You going to tow my car? Nope. I should have asked him how long he was going to leave it there. Anyway, because that was on Wednesday. And then it was Thursday and Friday, and this is bothering me, you know, because it's, first of all, he's parked the wrong direction. We all park facing south here at Holy Name. Anyway, then last Saturday, I look out, and it's not one car now, but two. And I'm like, well, what's going on? And then last Saturday night, a buddy called, so I had to go downstairs to my office, and I look out, there are three cars now. I was starting to mutter under my breath. You know how, like, I'm just making little speeches. I'll show these kids. Who do they think they are? And I could see a dome light in one of the vehicles. So I grab my flashlight. I'm going to walk around the school and come up behind them. I'm in my pajama pants. It looked like an old man. And anyway, turns out that they came to morning mass and they left a car. They were coming back to pick it up. So two of the cars disappeared. But that original one was still there. On Tuesday, I call the cops. Make it clear, I don't want to ticket the kid, but can you find out if he's ever coming back? Well, they trace the license plate, call him, and they said, yeah, Father, he's just waiting for his next paycheck. He'll be back on Thursday. Huh. Interesting how we can get worked up and we jump to conclusions and get all frustrated. We lose our inner peace real easily. You listen to Peter and John. These guys were giving speeches, and they weren't known to be the most stable people in the world either. But they're different now. Oh, there's a goodness about them, a charity. They challenge the world. But they're no longer mean or quick to make assumptions. They're no longer unforgiving. They've become a lot like Jesus, and that's the invitation for each of us. We can lose our inner peace. Things upset us. I one time was told a story by a priest about Bishop Lestecky, who was usually very eloquent. But there was this one mass where he was all over the place. He couldn't keep a thought together. They found out afterwards that he had just been told that he was being transferred from La Crosse to Milwaukee. Those things work on us. I mean, they upset us. So how can you and I become like those first Christians, have a composure, a peace, so that we can proclaim what we believe, not in a mean way, but in an attractive way, a hopeful way, a way that says, I think that would be good. I think if I listened and followed the Lord, I'd be a better person. Well, they received a lot of grace. Grace comes from Jesus, so more Jesus, more grace, more peace, and more, well, the ability to live what we believe. The way that we get this is, of course, first thing comes from a radio show. It's a brand new one called the Wausau Business Show. It's on WXCO, that's the 98.9. They just had their second episode yesterday. And the first one, they introduced this girl, Grace Stanky, Miss America, right? It's a very good interview. She's an impressive person. She was talking about her parents as role models. Her dad, he overcame cancer twice. Her mom sounds like a really upstanding citizen. And she said her mom used to tell them as kids, get outside your comfort zone every day. Do something that makes you a little bit uncomfortable every day. That's how you grow. That's how you become a person of grace, of kindness. And that's counterintuitive. We don't always like that. And I'm outside my comfort zone every time I stand up here. The sun is in my eyes. I got some babies making noise, which is really great. We used to have to pipe those sounds in. Those are real now. Those are real babies. So, to get outside our comfort zone, there was this kid named Peter Claver. When he was a little boy, he thought about being a priest. He went and talked to another priest, but he was worried because he had fear of public speaking. And the priest said, yeah, you ought to go to the seminary. Matter of fact, you should ask to become a missionary. You should go to the new world and proclaim Christ in his name. And that's what he did. He was sent to Colombia, and there in his lifetime, he baptized over 300,000 African slaves. He was canonized a saint, Peter Claver, one of the great missionaries. because he did something that was uncomfortable. He got outside his own security blanket and he lived for others. A towering saint that you and I, we can do that. If you want to hear the rest of the story, when somebody's parked in the lot, that's outside my comfort zone. But somebody suggested, hey, maybe we could get this kid a free tow. And there's somebody in the parish runs this towing company. And so when they called him and told him, hey, we'll tow your car wherever you need it, he almost started to cry. He came by that afternoon. I was out shoveling wood chips, manual labor. I do that just in case the news goes by. Anyway, but he came over and he's like, he shook my hand and said, thanks a lot. You don't know how much that means. He was obviously tired. He'd been working. He had grease on his face. I think he's a machinist or something. Because we get outside our comfort zone, it gives people space, time. It lets them grow. You have these little God moments that make a big difference in our life. That's the first thing. Get outside our comfort zone. Secondly, is when inconvenience comes, and it's just a part of life, embrace it, acknowledge it, become aware of it. That's not easy. My mom, she's had some hip discomfort for 2 weeks, and so they had to do the surgery on Wednesday in La Crosse. I went down to visit, and we were talking about how life, if you live long enough, it's just, it doesn't get any easier, right? And we were remembering her mom, when she had to leave her home and go into assisted living, and eventually she had to go to the nursing home. Each step, she never complained. I'm sure that she grieved. I'm sure that it was hard for her. But that was a moment of growth, of, well, becoming more like Christ who accepts his cross. He carries it for you and for me. Life is like that if we become aware of it, not to be bitter, to be sad. Sometimes we have to get it off our chest to talk to somebody. That's a good thing, a holy thing. I was talking to this nurse when I was at the hospital, and she said that her mom has become more reclusive, and she's worried about that. And one time she went to visit, and her mom was, she said, Mom, were you on the phone today? Did you talk to somebody? Well, yes, but how did you know? Because you're different, Mom. You're always a lot more chipper. You're a lot more positive. Human beings are good for us. They draw us out of ourselves. It's a beautiful thing that we can come here week after week and pray with and for each other, to see each other, to encourage each other. The inconveniences are part of life, to embrace those, to accept them. I was going down to visit my mom, and then we were going to go home, and I was going to have a nice day. I was going to go down the farm, go for a hike, but all that because my mom had this hip surgery. Well, that all went out the window. On Friday, I thought I'd still get a chance to hike around La Crosse, the Bluffs, but mom needed a ride from La Crosse to Prairie du Chien where she's doing her rehab. It was a beautiful drive if you've ever done it, 35 down the Mississippi River. And I was talking up a blue streak, telling my mom all the things that we're doing at Holy Name. And in about 20 minutes, she fell asleep. She slept the whole way. I see I'm having the same impact here this morning. But if you have a kid that you need to just put him in the car, I'll drive him around and talk him right into a stupor. But anyway, the idea is that get outside your comfort zone, embrace your inconveniences, and Jesus, he's the source of grace. If you want to have a voice like Peter or John or Mary Magdalene, if you want to be a true witness, get close to the Lord. This time of the Eucharist, we're trying to really embrace the grace that he gives. For example, the rally down La Crosse to sign up, spend a day with your parishioners, get to know each other. It's going to be a great trip. The Eucharistic class that begins on Tuesday. There's one in the morning, one in the evening. They'll meet in school. A chance to get to know the Lord, get to know people that are also pursuing him. And then Eucharistic procession is going to come right through here in the middle of June, opportunities for us to grow. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If we get upset, things bother us, and then we start to make little speeches, and that's going to lead us away from God. I was watching last Saturday night before my classmate called, and I had to do the intervention out in the parking lot. Anyway, I was watching The Natural, which is the old Robert Redford and Glenn Close. One of the great movies of that time, about 40 years old, I think. It's a baseball movie. And anyway, at the end of the movie, I won't spoil it, but Glenn Close, who's the high school sweetheart of this guy, Robert Redford, has a note. She wants it to be given to him. It's a pivotal time in the game, and they're trying to get into the playoffs. And anyway, they get this note delivered from the usher to the coach to the player, and he reads it, and he goes out and hits a walk-off home run. You know what it said on that note? It said, your son is here tonight. Sometimes we can get rattled. Sometimes we can be inspired. I imagine that what God wants us to know is that my son is here. Your God and your Savior. He's always here. He'll be here until the end of the age. And that changes people. It restores peace. It gives hope. It's the beginning of eternal life.